Chapter 16. Saturday, 6:38 p.m. The Pittsburgh Federal Building was a concrete and glass stump of a cube located just east of the Steelers training facility on Carson Street. Burroughs had never been inside before. Feds usually kept to themselves. One more thing that set Guardino apart, he thought as she chauffeured him through the security and got him a visitor's pass. He had to leave his weapon in a lockbox, but that was to be expected. They took the elevator up to the second floor. Bleached oak doors, all closed, lined the hallway. Most of the doors were labeled as Joint Counterterrorism Task Force. There were no names of the individuals who worked behind the blank doors, as if they were interchangeable cogs in Homeland Security's vast machine. Guardino led him to the far end of the floor to a closed door that read, Sexual Assault Felony Enforcement, High Technology Computer Crimes Task Force, Innocent Images National Initiative, and Operation Predator.
What are you guys, the red-headed stepkids? He asked as she swiped a key card to unlock it.
She shrugged. They like the press we generate and give me the people I need to get the job done, so I can't complain. They stepped into an antechamber with a secretary's desk, vacant given that it was Saturday. Behind the desk was a list of all the agencies working the multi-jurisdictional task forces under Guardino's command. Talk about your overachieving. There were at least 24. No wonder Guardino was so good at marshaling the troops and multitasking. She opened another secure door, and they entered a short hallway. Hand-lettered signs pointed in one direction for Innocent Images Initiative, another for Operation Predator. The door before them also had a handmade sign, but this one was cross-stitched and framed. In delicate, old-fashioned style letters, it proclaimed, "Abandon hope, all ye mo-fucking perverts." Below the statement was an embroidered, cheerful, yellow smiley face. "One of my guys is Army Reserves. He brought that back from Iraq. Said cross-stitching made the downtime go faster." Burroughs chuckled at the dark humor. To the side of the door, someone had stolen a caution sign and plastered across it, "Warning, illegal activities in progress. Enter at your own risk." Burroughs arched an eyebrow at her. "Take it this place isn't included in the nickel tour." She laughed, a low, rumbling, throaty sound that shook her entire body like she really meant it. God, did she have any idea how sexy it was to find a woman who knew how to really laugh instead of merely twitter or giggle as if laughing were against the law? No one except us comes back here, not if they can help it. She unlocked the door, and they entered a large open room that took up the rear corner of the building. Tinted windows lined two sides. A glass-walled office sat in one corner, and the rest of the area was filled with workstations and more computers than he'd ever seen outside of the time he and Kim had taken the boys to Florida and they toured Cape Canaveral's mission control.
Wow, you could run the country from here.
Not quite. Most of these machines aren't hooked into any government network. We only use them for dirty work.
Going online. Playing games with the bad guys. How many active cases do you have going at a time?
They stepped into the glass-walled office. It wasn't large, but it felt spacious, probably because she had her desk jammed back in the corner, leaving room to move freely around a small conference table and chairs. SAFE has 127. I'm developing several dozen more with Innocent Images. When we're ready to issue warrants, the SAFE squad will handle those as well as any from Operation Predator that turned federal. We've a few multi-jurisdictional task forces running, including some international ones.
Shit. How do you keep all that in your head?
I don't. Told you, I have good people working for me. I just set them loose and try to stay out of their way. Hardest part is we have almost 200 cases pending trial. I'm dreading juggling the schedule once we get court dates.
200? But you've only been here 3 months.
She leaned against her desk, which matched the rest of the decor. Bleached wood, very modern, except for the small tropical jungle she had growing along the sunny side. Not your grandmother's shriveled African violets. Guardino had cascading vines with delicate white and purple flowers that smelled better than any perfume, several orchids, and a few desert-like plants with weird-shaped flowers.
"Blame Taylor," she said.
His first case, he infiltrated a big web ring, was able to nail 131 targets. Of course, word has spread, so we're not likely to get that lucky again anytime soon.
He looked around. The obligate flag and portraits of the president and the FBI director lined one corner. Other than that, there was no vanity wall, unless you counted the photo of Guardino with a man and a girl whitewater rafting through rapids. That photo, along with one of the three of them, smiling and dressed up for a Christmas card, were the only personal items on her desk.
"You got lucky reeling in those three Canadians," he reminded her. "Are a lot of your suspects international?"
It'd be nice to think that all the perverts had been chased north across the border and far away from his kids, but he knew that was a pipe dream.
"You'd be surprised. Last year, while I was still in D.C., we closed down a major sex trade drug operation that was centered here in Pittsburgh."
That brought him up short.
"You're kidding. Human trafficking? Here? Come on, this is Pittsburgh.
We worked with DEA, ICE, and Interpol, tracing ecstasy from the Netherlands to Marseille, where some of it was used to purchase women from Belarus and the Ukraine. Then the drugs and the women were shipped to the port of Savannah, the drugs distributed all over the eastern seaboard, while the women were sent here."
He sat on the corner of her desk, taking care not to upset the plants.
"How come I didn't ever hear anything about this?"
"The women were kept in a production studio 2 blocks away from Pittsburgh Police Bureau headquarters on the north side. They were being used for internet porn. The highest bidder could script whatever he wanted done to them and view it on his computer."
She opened up a filing cabinet and handed him a folder filled with photos.
"That's just a taste of what some of them suffered at the request of the site's patrons."
He flipped the file open and almost gagged on the bacon cheeseburger he'd had earlier. He swallowed hard and slapped the file back onto her desk. She took it, held it gently as if it were something precious.
"Off-duty officers were guarding the production studio and the women, and we found several prominent police administrators involved. So we went in quietly, grabbed everything, and made our arrests. A few people we turned are using them to work our way back to the guys running the show."
Burroughs digested that. There had been several surprise retirements last year, but Scuttlebutt had attributed them to pressure from the union and a change in the political climate.
"Why didn't you guys make this public? It would have been a major media event."
"I prefer to work behind the scenes. John Greeley, my SAC, agrees. And with the involvement of the police department, it didn't seem in the public's best interest to undermine their confidence. DEA had some guys undercover, infiltrating the Netherlands drug ring, so they didn't want to draw any attention either. The ICE guys wanted to grab the headlines, but since they screwed up, they kept quiet."
"Custom screwed up? How?"
"We had 11 girls in that facility. My agent secured it, began evidence recovery, and handed the girls over to customs. By the time they made it to the detention facility, there were only 10 girls. One of them, Vera Caceres, was missing."
"So they lost one. After what they'd been through, can you blame her for not trusting the authorities? Taking off if she had a chance?
What happened to the other girls?" "After they testify, they'll be offered asylum here. Until then, they remain in detention."
He shook his head. "Seems kind of unfair. Locking them up, I mean.
Better than what they could expect if we hadn't gotten them out of there."
She removed one small photograph before returning the file to its locked drawer.
"Still, I feel bad about the missing girl, Vera. I took her statement myself before we turned her over to ICE. I promised her that she was out of danger. The worst was over. It'd be nice to find her someday, make sure she was all right."
She didn't meet his gaze, but he got her meaning when she slid him the 3x5 photo. It was a headshot, the kind you see on dating sites or used by actresses. The girl in it was in her early 20s, dark hair, a wide, toothy smile that reminded him of Julia Roberts. He admired Guardino's pragmatism and the fact that it didn't totally crowd out her humanity, and it felt good that she trusted him not to betray her confidence. He had a feeling her attitude of putting victims first didn't always go over so well here in federal country, where the name of the game was cover your ass.
I'll keep my eyes out. See what I can do. Unofficially.
She nodded her thanks. I've done all I can through our channels, but no one at HQ wants her brought in. Too many mistakes might be made public. She glanced out the glass walls of her office. Several men and women were clustered around a desk brimming over with computer equipment.
Well, hell, what's going on now?
Lucy stepped out of her office just in time to prevent a civil war. Or more precisely, a public lynching. The bullpen, a large open room filled with movable desks and workstations, was currently configured into a horseshoe centering around Taylor's desk, brimming over with computer equipment. Standing beside Taylor was Fletcher, the ICE surveillance tech. Surrounding him was the rest of the high-tech computer crimes task force. You can't disconnect from the write blocker while you're running NCASE, Taylor was saying. Besides, another H-Tech member lectured Fletcher, we only work from images, clones, not the original. What were you thinking? The rest of the cyber warriors voiced similar sentiments. Fletcher was turning red, holding his hands up against the hordes attacking him. Lucy stepped into the fray.
What's the problem, gentlemen?
The H-Tech team backed off, leaving her facing Taylor and Fletcher. Taylor slanted a look and a scowl at Fletcher, then shook his head.
Nothing, LT. I've got everything under control.
She had her doubts about that, but let it slide.
I appreciate your trying to help, she told Fletcher, leading him away from the nest of wires and electronics that had overrun Taylor's desk.
He looked back over his shoulder with a tight-lipped frown.
I was setting up for tomorrow, and they said you needed help with the Ashley Yeager case.
His voice was taut, and she wondered what she'd missed prior to her arrival.
Lucy nodded to Burroughs.
I'll be back in a minute.
She led Fletcher to his workstation. She and her team were the lead on Operation Honeypot, but since ICE would be involved in the post-arrest negotiations with the Canadian authorities, the ICE special agent in charge, Grimwald, had wanted his people involved throughout. So far, Fletcher had been an asset, even if he was a bit eager. Agent Wannabe, she'd pegged him as, the way he hovered and volunteered for any little assignment during their briefings. Just like Taylor had been before he made it into Quantico. It was nice of you to give up your weekend, especially after working so hard this morning. He shrugged and inclined his head in a self-deprecating bounce.
I felt bad about the girl. Just wanted to help. I didn't realize you guys follow a different protocol than we do.
Hey, no problem. Listen, we need to get started early tomorrow on Operation Honeypot. Why don't you head home, spend some time with your family?
I'll finish setting up the equipment first. My family knows how important my job is.
Sometimes there's a price to pay. Lucy bit back a sigh as a sudden image of Megan, her face flushed with fever, dashed through her mind.
Yeah, there's always a price. I'll see you tomorrow.
Taylor came up behind them.
Hey, LT, he said. Fletcher said you forgot these on your op this morning.
She turned as he released a cascade of rubber snakes from a pressurized can. She yelped and batted the things away, realizing too late that the rest of the squad had gathered around. Everyone laughed except Burroughs, who looked puzzled. Lucy joined in on the laughter as well.
Okay, you guys. You got me good.
Walden came in, just in time to see the aftermath of the joke.
Can I have your autograph?
He handed her a printout of a still shot of Indiana Jones caught in a snake pit with a torch. Only Lucy's photo replaced Harrison Ford's face beneath his fedora.
I'm not going to live this down, am I?
Lucy said, thumbtacking the photo to the nearest corkboard. It was good to see Walden had a sense of humor. She'd been beginning to doubt that his expression ever shifted out of dour deadpan.
I take it you had a run-in with a snake?
Burroughs asked as she ushered him, Taylor, and Walden into her office. told you. You should have taken me this morning, Taylor said, plopping onto one of the chairs at the conference table. I'm not afraid of snakes. Neither am I. At least I wasn't until this morning. As Walden drew a timeline onto the whiteboard and began to add all the points documenting Ashley's recent behavior, Taylor gleefully told Burroughs about the op at the snake handler's church. His version sounded much more exciting than the real thing had, and far less messy. Burroughs straddled a chair behind the conference table and pivoted to grin at Lucy.
Gee, the glamorous life you feds lead. So were the twins molested? Or were the creeps really trying to save their souls?
Walden paused in his writing.
Stady said they still aren't sure. The first forensic interview didn't get much from them except they missed their parents.
It's out of our hands, Lucy said, bringing their focus back to Ashley. She remained standing, behind them, pacing the area between the table and her desk.
She planned this, Taylor said, eagerly, as if it was an original thought.
With help, Burroughs added. No way a girl her size could have gotten the waitress's body into that bin by herself.
So there must be two, Walden said.
Either Ashley working with someone, or someone else coercing Ashley.
Either way, there had to be communication. Burroughs took the hand off.
What did you get from her cell phone?
Just the Fagley kid, and nothing from him in over a month. Only other calls were from her mother.
So who has been talking with Ashley this past month?
For the first time, Lucy spoke. She still didn't agree with their assessment, but she wanted to hear their thoughts without influencing them with her own opinions. They looked at each other.
She has another cell? Walden suggested. Bought herself a prepaid?
Trying on theories was like trying on new shoes, and so far they all pinched Lucy's toes. Until now. Walden's suggestion felt right.
Untraceable.
She narrowed her eyes at the board. She didn't like committing to one line of investigation or one theory of the crime too early. But Ashley had been missing 29 hours already. Statistics said if she were taken by a stranger or coerced by a predator, she'd be dead in less than 48. Actually, most were dead within 3 hours of an abduction, but Lucy refused to think that way. How could they be this far into things and nothing still made sense?
What about Tardif? She asked.
Not in any registry. Never charged with a crime, Walden supplied.
Lucy leaned forward, hearing an implied but in his tone.
However, he has had several civil actions brought against him for improper supervision of a minor. All settled out of court, all sealed.
Well, hell.
They all knew what sealed and settled was code for. Guilty. She moved to the front of the room and a clear space at the board, wrote Tardif's name up high.
So we have one freaky deaky involved. But, as far as we know, he hasn't even been in town lately and hasn't had contact with Ashley, Taylor said.
Then it's your job to track him down, verify his whereabouts. I don't want to wait for the New York office to get back to us. Taylor nodded, eagerly, his puppy dog grin returning now that he had a new bone to play with.
I can cross-check his calls with Mom's, see if he's using an alternate cell. Maybe we can track him that way.
Just do it. I'm tired of hearing about this guy and not having any facts. She turned back to the board, wrote Ashley's name. Below it, she added, victim? Willing accomplice? Coerced? Acting solo?
I still say she couldn't do the tasty treat girl by herself, Walden said, as she wrote the last.
The chick was pretty skinny,
Burroughs put in, obviously still liking the idea of Ashley as a doer.
So was Ashley, Walden argued. Lucy tried to be objective. Consider the force needed to hold someone face down into a vat of 400-degree boiling oil. They'll be fighting with everything they have, and you have to hold them there for, what, a minute or two? She shook her head and crossed the solo item off their list.
I don't think so.
Burroughs opened his mouth to protest, and she pointed the marker at him.
Not unless your M.E. says otherwise.
Why don't you follow up on that as well as check in with Monroeville, see if anything else popped up during their canvass? Oh, and while you're at it, you can phone in your report to the mayor. His mouth snapped shut. Did he really think she'd believe he was hovering so close to her because he liked how she filled out her sweater? She may be new to Pittsburgh, but she wasn't born yesterday. He flashed her a sheepish grin.
Sorry about that. It's an election year.
Not really interested in politics right now. I'm interested in facts. And we're pitifully short on them. Which brings us back to her computer. All heads swiveled to stare at Taylor. He held up his hands, palms out, fingers splayed.
You guys need to understand. These things take time.
Just tell me what you have so far. Before he can open his mouth, she added, in English. The light in Taylor's eyes dampened. He opened his mouth, closed it again.
Nothing.
Nothing? Lucy placed her weight on the table, leaning forward. You and your geniuses have been at it all day.
We have a lot of possibilities. We're analyzing every fragment we can isolate. I've a team working on tracking the scrubber program back to its source code, another one tracing her email and online activity. But there's nothing concrete, no solid leads.
He hung his head.
I'm sorry. We need more time.
Lucy straightened, wrapping her arms around her chest, holding back from telling Taylor what they all knew. Ashley Yeager didn't have more time to spare. Ashley was motionless. Jimmy would have thought she was asleep, except that her eyes were open, staring into space, staring straight into his heart. Pressure built behind his eyes. One finger stroked an eyebrow as he grew clammy with sweat. Was it time? He crouched before the video monitor, as if by getting closer to the screen he could get closer to Ashley. Only one chance to do this right. He glanced over at the large aquarium that sat on the floor beside the monitor. Dozens of snakes coiled, slithering over top of each other, confined to an impossibly small space. Several raised their heads and stared at him with cold, reptilian eyes. Jimmy didn't like snakes. It had taken every ounce of courage and willpower for him to collect them. Ashley was even more terrified of them than he was. She told him about what her father had done to her, forcing her to handle anacondas and other snakes in front of crowds of visitors to the zoo when she was young. How he chided her for her fears, tried to cure her of them by making her handle the snakes, until she'd broken down in terror during one of the shows and wet her pants. Jimmy wished there was another way. He tapped the wall of the aquarium, and the mass of snakes writhed as if it were a single creature. None were poisonous, of course not, but their effect on Ashley would be devastating. The whole point. She had to break with her old life in order to join him in their new life together. Only one chance. Was she ready? The lilting sounds of his piano man ringtone jolted him. He checked the number. Alicia. Ashley and Step 4 would have to wait. Family first.